This is Scott Becker. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Andy Anderson. Dr. Anderson is the leader of one of the largest physician groups in the country today. Dr. Anderson, can I take a moment and ask you to introduce yourself? Then we'll talk to you about what you do today, what it's like running a large medical group, and more.
Absolutely. I'm Dr. Andy Anderson. I'm a general internist by training and currently lead RWJ Barnabas Rutgers Medical Group, which has almost 2,000 physicians as part of that group. Running this large group, my vision for it is that it really should be the integrator and the engine of our health system. I think the key to effectively running a large group is being able to communicate that vision broadly and consistently, and then ensure that we have the right leaders and the right structure in place to execute on that vision of the medical group, truly being the integrator and the engine of the health system.
How does the leadership at RWJ Barnabas Rutgers, how do they come to that vision that the physician group what would be sort of the core or one of the key cores of the health system and sort of the engine and integrator of the system? How do you sort of move to that vision and how did that develop?
Yeah, the organization historically of most health systems has been, very centered on the hospital, and the hospitals continue to be, critical. But as we're building services for communities in the sort of population health mindset, we really have to organize physicians around those services, whether it's just straight up primary care or whether it's access to a super specialist who's going to do skull-based neurosurgery, for example. So, having the physician group organized across our system, meaning all of our communities, is critical to have that care available for patients, locally as appropriate, as well as in our tertiary quaternary centers when more advanced procedures or more advanced care is needed.
And how did you end up in the role that you have today? I know by background you're an internist, you've got a great history, a great pedigree, people rave about you as a leader and as a physician. How did you end up in this role? How did your career take you here?
Yeah, I started as a chief resident right after residency, which gave me sort of a taste, if you will, of being an administrator and being a teacher as well as being a physician. And then just along the way, I've always had a lot of interest in leadership and in health system management. I did a master's in business as part of my training once I was practicing for a while as a physician, and really saw the opportunity to help change healthcare by being someone who would advocate for a better system, meaning better access for patients, as well as a better place for doctors and staff to do the work that they do every day.
Being the leader of a couple thousand physicians or any kind of professional organization, it's different than being the leader of other types of organizations, I think. You can't be a total top-down leader with other physicians or they'll kick you out. What kind of leader do you have to be as the leader of a large professional services group?
Yeah, a leader, especially a physician leader, has to be very in tune to quality and safety, as well as to the patient perspective. And to understand that, I think there's a value having the background as a clinician. I think a great leader also is someone who literally goes out into the field and talks to physicians and talks to staff, talks to nurses, talks to patients, and understands what's happening and really listens to be able to engage at the front line and try to improve the delivery of care at the front line.
In the mix of leadership, can you tell other physicians what to do? Or is it all about consensus building? How do you manage that relationship?
Yeah, that's probably one of the toughest parts of the job is being able to navigate that balance. The sort of the autonomy that physicians have, is it's important to enable a physician to do what he or she has done in terms of their training and their experience, but at the same time to have systems, you know, around them that support them, and hopefully make it easier for them to do that work. And then, you know, areas like standards of care or new evidence or new therapies, you know, part of my job is to make sure that physicians and others know the most recent evidence and know, you know, what's going to work best and try to build systems to help them get to those answers that are the best answers for our patients.
And thoughts about, you see the concept used in sports of a player's coach. And sometimes that's used as a very positive, something that relates well to the players. Sometimes it's used as a negative, somebody that's not able to discipline players. How do you sort of view leadership in the context of a medical group? Can you be a player's coach? Do you have to be somewhat removed from your players? How do you sort of manage that?
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation. Sometimes as a leader, you have to be a manager where you're literally sort of going in and being someone who's being more directive. In other situations, you want to be more of a mentor or a coach and provide guidance and vision, but not necessarily tell someone exactly how they have to do something. So it is situational. Depends on the individual that you're working with. You know, as a leader of a large group, I would hope I'd spend more time being sort of the visionary, the person that's setting the direction, and allowing, you know, the individuals to do the work that they do in alignment with that vision, but not really, you know, needing to micromanage, if you will, each person.
People use a term for physician extenders, particularly allied health professionals, of practicing at the top of their license. What does that mean in the context of an integrated health system, an integrated practice setting? Any thoughts on what that means in terms of extension and surpluses and shortages and so forth, and whether it causes tensions or not? Any thoughts on that phrase?
Yeah, I think that's an important concept. And as we build healthcare for the future, you know, having teams are critical, and the teams should be built around top of license care, and having, you know, a medical assistant or a nurse or advanced practice provider working at the top of their license is fulfilling for that individual. And it also creates, you know, efficiencies in terms of building systems that are going to be, you know, safer, higher quality, as well as, you know, financially more viable. So for a physician, for example, there's work that physicians do every day that maybe they shouldn't do. Maybe there should be someone else on the team doing that work, which would free up the time of the physician to do the work that they were trained to do. And that's rewarding for everybody. So, you know, if we build those teams in the right way, it really can be beneficial for all parties involved.
Thank you. And Dr. Anderson, you've had this fascinating career from clinician to always being somewhat of a leader as well, to now leading a very large medical group. What do you love about what you do?
Yeah, I love seeing successes and results, meaning a grateful patient, a physician who's, you know, very engaged, even a medical assistant who feels like they're contributing meaningfully to patient care. And we really want to wow our customers, whether it's the patients that we're taking care of or whether it's the providers and the staff that are doing the work on a day-to-day basis. So seeing those successes really is highly motivating for me, and it really is engaging for me, and it's something that I love to see as much as possible.
As you've built a career that sort of bridges clinical practice and leadership practice, what's some of your best advice for people building careers, building professions?
Yeah, I think everyone should always be open to learning. And part of that is taking time to personally reflect on your own performance and being open to change, and also really taking the time to learning the perspective of others. So there's a big difference between being a leader and a manager, and being a good leader or a manager really requires, you know, insight into the person that you're working with and or the system that you're working within. And having that training, that experience, that willingness to learn, I think is critical as we all develop as leaders and as managers and help navigate healthcare into the future.
Dr. Harrison, another couple of questions. What are you most excited about as you look into the next couple of years, as you look into the future? What excites you about what you're doing at RWJ Barnabas and also just generally in healthcare? What excites you about the future?
Yeah, I'm excited that we're moving more into a population health mindset, meaning we are focusing more on our individual patients as people, thinking about social determinants of health, thinking about community resources, and trying to help people be more healthy. So RWJ Barnabas has really put the focus there. Our overarching mission is to have our communities be healthier, and seeing that in action is very rewarding. And just, you know, as a physician, historically, you know, I was trained to take care of people when they were sick, which is very important. But if we can spend more time taking care of people when they're well and trying to promote healthy behaviors and trying to help them live healthier lifestyles, I think that's tremendous. And that's the future. And we're all building toward that. And that's very exciting.
That's fantastic. So the sort of focus on population health, not just the individual patient, but the population as well, and not to undermine the individual patient, but also to focus on social determinants of health and things that you could do for communities and sort of the analytics and data and the people skills behind all that. Is that a fair?
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, health systems, including my health system and Rutgers University, we're building the competencies, if you will, to be able to have the proper analytics, to be able to have the proper workforce, to be able to make those connections with their communities and really to organize around population health delivery. So it's, you know, very exciting. And I think, you know, over the next 5 years, there will be significant changes in the world of healthcare because of that change of focus.
That's fantastic. And any thoughts on where you see yourself personally in 10 years? And any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I want to continue to lead and to continue to help, you know, health systems evolve into, you know, deliverers of both healthcare and health. And so as we see that future coming, it's a culture change in many situations for our hospitals and our individual physician practices and even with the payers and trying to align and trying to organize in a way that's going to effectively deliver population health. I see myself continuing to do that over the next 5 or 10 years.
You sound like somebody who truly loves what they do, and it comes across every time I get a chance to visit with you, even for a few minutes. What's the trick to that? How did you get to that spot?
Well, I think it's waking up every day with sort of the purpose and understanding why you're doing what you do. And for me, it's always been about taking better care of patients and populations and trying to help others, whether it's our physicians or our staff, do that in a better way. So I find that, you know, extremely rewarding. And then at the leadership, you know, level itself, there's always been a teacher in me at heart. And so I love that opportunity to teach others as a leader, like we talked about earlier with coaching and mentoring. It's very rewarding to do that. So there's just so many good things that can come out of the field that I work in that it makes it extraordinarily exciting to be in it and to be a leader in it.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. What a pleasure to visit with you today. Truly fascinating, and I love, more than anything, your love for what you do. It shows through in talking to you. So thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.